could, grab your Bibles, turn to Matthew 8, and just hold your place there. And I'm actually going to read from a different text, and then we'll get into the sermon tonight. Pastor asked, in Monterey Park, we're preaching a series on the character qualities of Christ, and it's been a very fruitful series. I've enjoyed it tremendously. It's been good for us, and we understand as Christians that God saved us to be conformed to the image of his Son. But that's a very large command there. So what's something a little more tangible? Well, the character qualities of Christ are different things that we could add to our life to be more like Christ, to be more like him. And so tonight, in the short time I have, I'm going to be preaching on the character quality of determination. Let me read to you first here, and we're all familiar with the story. This is at the end of Christ's life. I'll read for you in Luke 22, verse number 39. The Bible says, "And he came out and went, and as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And as he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven and strengthened him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Here we see Christ's last moments on earth right before he's betrayed to later be crucified. I can't even begin to imagine the amount of pressure, the amount of stress, the amount of opposition and agony that our Savior must have faced at this time. And yet as he was in a place in his life where he said, "But it's not my will, but thine be done." That right there, folks, takes determination. Far too many people in the Christian life, they quit. Let me say this, parents, don't let your children quit. Far too many people quit. But Christ, suffering the crucifixion and knew everything that was going to take place, said, "You know what? Not my will, but thine be done." That takes determination. Determination is purposing to accomplish God's goals in God's time, regardless the opposition. Determination. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the short time that we have tonight. We ask that you'd bless, give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Life consists of choices. If we make right choices, we experience the blessings of God. If we make wrong choices, we experience discipline, destruction, and even death. Listen to this. After wise choices are made, determination is needed to carry them out. Wise choices will often be challenged by difficulties and temptations. Let's face it, folks, tonight, life is full of ups and downs. Life is full of disappointments, discouragements. Life is full of victories and losses. Life is full of storms and trials. Mark it down. Every single one of us are going to go through a trial in our life. The question is when that trial comes into our life, it takes God and it takes determination to get through it. Even the disciples, they went through trials. They went through difficulties. And I think there can be much learned from how they handled the storms in their life. Let's read Matthew 8, and we'll begin in verse 16. "Now when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils." This is speaking of Jesus and his disciples. "And he cast out many that were possessed with devils, and cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Skip down to verse number 23, if you would. "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he slept. But he was asleep, excuse me, that's speaking of Jesus. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And you have to think here for a moment that this must have been a storm of a life, because many of the disciples were fishermen, and I'm sure that many times out at sea they had seen some pretty rough waves and some difficult storms, if you would. But this storm must have been real big, because they come and they say, hey, Jesus, we perish. And verse number 26, and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Here in Matthew 8, we see Jesus and his disciples taking a little cruise in a boat when they run into a storm, when they run into a difficult time in their life. And the same is true for you and I tonight. The question is not an if. It's not. It's not an if. The question is when. And when we face that trial, and when we face that storm, I just want to encourage you tonight, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Don't quit. Don't quit on your walk with God. Don't quit on your prayer life. Don't quit on your marriage. Don't quit on your ministry. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit at work. Don't quit giving. Don't quit serving. Don't quit. Stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Far too many Christians quit on God. They quit on their families. They quit. Decide tonight that I'm not going to quit. No matter what storms come my way, I'm going to stay in the boat. Christians, stay in the boat tonight. The storms are tough and the storms are difficult, and it doesn't seem to be an end. And you feel like quitting. How many of you folks tonight, you just feel like quitting? Quitting on God. Quit coming to church. Quit serving. You know what? To be real honest with you, the desire to quit is not, that's not unnatural. Every single one of us want to quit at one point in our life. I remember a time in my life when I wanted to quit. I just came to Bible college. My second semester, I got hired on staff for Earning for Learning. I was responsible for all kinds of things. I used to have to move our buses. I don't know if you remember. We used to park our buses way over there underneath the freeway. Who did that? Me. I'd get in the bus, I'd drive it over there, and I'd walk back. Get in the bus, drive it over there, walk back. We had six buses at that time, so that took a lot of time, needless to say. And then after that, I'd get in the shuttle, and I'd drive the shuttle around, come to church, beat, dead tired, after a candy selling with the kids all day. I'd come into the service fighting to stay awake. And then after the service was over, I'd get back in the shuttle, drive people to their cars, and then I have to go pick up the buses. Walk over there, bring a bus back, walk over there, bring a bus back, walk over there, six times. And then it came time, hey, time to drop the kids off. We had 14 boys in Earning for Learning that one time, and I got to take all those wonderful children home. So needless to say, by the time I got home, I was a little bit tired. And you know what? To be real honest with you, Pastor, I didn't feel like doing my homework. So that whole entire semester, my second semester in my freshman year, brand new staff member, I failed every single class. Not a single one. Straight Fs. Failure. But that was okay. You know what? Because that summer, I was getting married. Boy, that was an exciting time. My wife and I, we got married, and as a present for my in-laws, they paid for us to go to Thailand. We went to Thailand on a beautiful, I think it was a 10-day trip. And when you go to Thailand, you go on these tours, there's something you got to understand, is everywhere you go, it's a buffet. You wake up in the morning, buffet. You go out sightseeing for the day, they take you to a restaurant, buffet. You come home that night and you go eat dinner somewhere, buffet, 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 buffet. Needless to say, buffet, 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 for 10 days in a row, I put on a little weight. Good night. I came back, and I remember I came back to school, and there was a certain staff member, we won't say his name, but maybe I'm pretty sure most of you might know who he was. He's like a pit bull, and when he gets on to something, he gets it. And for some reason, I was the butt of every single joke. He'd be talking about the love of God and how big God's love was. And he'd say, speaking of big, how's it going, Brother Kyle? I'm serious. In class, in chapel, in church, all over the place. How's it going, Brother Kyle? You know, that seems funny now, but you know what? Back then, that wasn't very funny. I remember Brother Bruce, brand new to the Bible college. This guy's turning around. I don't even know this guy. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Here I am, driving shuttles, moving buses, failing all my classes to come back to be ridiculed and mocked and discouraged. Then guess what? Then I got food poisoning. I missed a week of school. Then I got food poisoning again. There it is. Over absence, all my classes. Another semester down the drain. I feel like a failure. A brand new married husband, staff member, failing all my, getting made fun of. Brother Ross laughs. But I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. I'd wake up in the morning and I would struggle. And I'd look at myself in the mirror. And I'd begin to cry. Looking at myself, all this extra weight. Failure. People making fun of me. People I don't even know. And you know what? I'll be honest. I wanted to quit. Pastor, I wrote up my resignation letter, typed it out. But I always remember they said, don't hit send. Hit the drafts button. That's exactly what I did. I had that thing all, and I felt good. Man, it felt good. Write it all out. I'm done. Quit. I got some rest. And sometimes we just need to get some sleep. And I got some good sleep, and God gave me some good sleep that night. I woke up the next morning. I read that email. I said, trash. Hey, look, folks, the desire to quit is very natural. The ability to stick with it takes God and takes determination. You know, I think about my life and I look at Matthew 8 and I believe there's some very important lessons that we can learn here. First of all, number one, real fast, often after a great victory, there's a difficult storm. Often after a great victory, there's a difficult storm. If you look in the text that we read tonight in Matthew 8, verses 16 through 17, here's the disciples. They're seeing prophecy being fulfilled. They're seeing folks getting demons cast out of them. They're seeing sick people being healed. Can you imagine it? Then all of a sudden, they get into the boat and they face a little storm. They say, we perish. Why? Because often after a great victory, there's a difficult storm. Often after you make a big decision for God, maybe, hey, I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to go to Bible college. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. There's going to be a trial. There's going to be a difficulty. But it takes determination to finish. Somebody once said, never doubt in the dark a decision that you made in the light. You're on top of the hill and God is good and God's on the throne and God's working in your life and you make a decision to go to Bible college or you make a decision to start a new ministry or you make a decision to go forward with your family and be faithful and to give and to tithe. Then all of a sudden things get difficult. Things seem like they're in the dark. All of a sudden, God's not in this. I must have got the wrong phone number. That couldn't have been from God. Why? Because often after a great victory, there's a difficult trial or a big storm. Someone once also said the true test of a Christian is not what it takes to get him going, but what it takes to get him to quit. The true test of a Christian is not what it takes him to get going, but what it takes for him to quit. Determination tonight, folks. Determination. Next, real fast, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat. Because it will increase your faith. The disciples go through the storm here, and I don't have a lot of time to elaborate, but they go through the storm, and they see Christ calm the winds and the waves, and they say, wow, even the winds and the sea obey him. The problem is that oftentimes during the storm, we can't see what's on the other side. But stay in the boat because it will increase your faith. In 1952, on July 4th, a young woman named Florence Chadwick, she got into the water, into the ocean off the coast of California, right there at Catalina Island. And she had swam long distances previously. She was actually the first woman to swim the English Channel in both ways. She got into the water and on July 4th, 1952, and it was a very cold morning. And as she set out, a thick fog rolled in. The water was numbing. The fog was thick. She swam for more than 15 hours. Some of our people have a hard time staying awake for 15 hours. This lady swam for 15 hours. And as she's swimming, they had boats next to her to kind of protect her from the sharks. She began to get fatigued. She couldn't see how far the Long Beach coast was. And she got a little discouraged. And she got to say, I need to come out. Take me out of the water. I want to quit. I can't do this. I can't swim anymore. And so they pull her up out of the water. And she gets up on the ship. And she looks out to the coast. And she only had 1 mile left. And she quit. There's some of us that we're going through the storm of our life tonight. And then the fog is thick. And we just can't see the other side. And we just don't know how close we are. We just don't know how close God is to breaking through. I just want to encourage you tonight, stay in the boat. Stay in the boat because it will increase your faith. Now that I look back at my life and I look at what God did, it's like the fingerprints of God. We're all over that thing. And it's not going to happen in our lives if we quit. It takes determination to stay in the boat. Lastly, real fast, stay in the boat because oftentimes after a great victory, there's a storm. Stay in the boat because it will increase your faith. Stay in the boat because someone, I don't know who it is, but there's someone that needs your help. There's somebody that only you can help. And they're waiting for you. They're pulling for you. They're saying, hold on. Stay in the boat. Don't quit. Have determination. Look at our verse right there. Turn back. Look at this. This is great. Verse number 28. They come out of the storm. They made it to the other side. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And they cried, and we know the story that Jesus casts out those demons that were possessed of those men. And the point is if those disciples would have quit, that man might not have got the help that he should have gotten if they would have quit. It takes determination to stay in the boat. There's somebody, I don't know who it is, there's somebody waiting for you. Right on the other side of that storm, there's somebody, some man or some woman or some child that's waiting for you. I remember when we started Monterey Park, probably a lot of us heard this story, when I started working over at Monterey Park, Pastor asked me to teach a Chinese class, and I don't have no idea, maybe just because of the fact that I eat rice, and my wife is Chinese Cambodian, but she doesn't even speak Chinese. And so we went over there to help start a Chinese Sunday school class, and I went, I didn't start at the very beginning, I actually came like the fourth week, and I was just wanted to go visit some of the members of the class. And I'm out with Brother Eugene Wong. And we're trying to visit a member that had been faithfully attending since the beginning of the church. And in Monterey Park, there's like a north and south. It'd be like North Pacific and South Pacific. And we're over here looking for this address. I'm walking around everywhere. I said, Brother Eugene, I can't find it. I don't know where we're at. He's like, oh, we're on the wrong street. I'm like, brother, we're sitting around here walking around for 10 minutes. Then you're going to tell me we're on the wrong street? He's like, yeah, this is South Chandler. We need to be on North Chandler. Well, amen. He said, but actually, you know what? Right here, there's a prospect. He's never been to church. Actually, Brother Board met him. He's never been to church, but he lives right here. I said, hey, let's go check it out. So we walk up, knock on the door, and a young Chinese college-age boy named Gang answers the door. Real nice guy. Come on in, come on in. We go in, we eat, we have tea. Big Chinese tradition, you have tea, you take your shoes off. That's when I learned, be careful not that you don't have socks or holes in your socks when you go out visiting Monterey Park. I had to hide my feet and stuff. But I go there and I meet Gang, and Gang's a real nice man. I invite him to church, and he came to church that next day. He came to church, and eventually he got saved, and he began to grow, and then Gang invited a friend. Gang, and I'm not making these names up, Gang invited Yang to church. And Yang started coming to church, and he started growing, and Yang was already saved, but he kind of just was getting more faithful. And then Gang invited Yang, and then Yang invited a young man who just came from China. His name was Ryan. And Ryan showed up. Good Chinese name. Ryan showed up. Ryan came to church. He got saved. He got baptized, became a member, started to grow, came to Bible college. And then Ryan invited his friend, Cindy, to church. Cindy's now in our Bible college. She helps out in the ladies, the staff office over there. And you know what? And I look back at my life, and I look back at my college experience, and I look back at the times that I'd sit in the mirror, and I'd be in tears and ashamed to go in my room and look at my wife. And I just thank God that I didn't quit. Because there's somebody out there that's waiting for you. There's somebody that's saying, hey, make it through the storm. I need your help. Don't quit. Don't quit. Stay in the boat. It will take determination. Jesus Christ bore the pain on the cross. That took determination. Stay in the boat, because that's where Jesus is. It will increase your faith. And somebody out there needs your help. Thank you.